If you're watching this channel, it's because you don't enjoy watching the world squander what Christendom built, but you want to do your part. And chances are you've heard me mention a great means by doing just that. Email made by and for Catholics. Check out fidei.email. That's FIDEI.email. Built for Catholic individuals, families, organizations, and groups. They're private, secure, and of course, they're Catholic. And they're offering 2 months off on your first year for an annual subscription if you enter the coupon code Return to Tradition without spaces. That's the name of this channel, without spaces, at checkout.
Talk of deaconesses.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This continues in the church. We're seeing Francis have meetings with his council of cardinals, with special guests who are advocates for a greater role for women in the church, as they call it. We see more of this every single week, it seems. We have heard of clandestine ordinations of women to the deaconess in the spirit, whatever that means, happening in Germany. Public celebrations of Deaconess Day in Germany. Of course, it's Germany leading these heretical charges in the church. And with some digging, we discover that this has been something that modernists have been preparing for 20 years. So we're going to go over some of that today with some of the newest revelations on this story as it continues to develop in the head up to the Fall Synod on Synodality. Though I would suggest that people not expect the Synod itself to issue deaconess decrees. Instead, expect Francis and Fernandez to do that. That is likely what's going to happen in the coming weeks and months. Perhaps before the Synod, perhaps after. The Synod of Synodality is about process. Decentralization of authority in the church to include greater role for the laity, which will then enable them to implement further heretical changes. That's the aim. They've said as much. So I want to give you first here personal testimony from a priest that received this from a priest in an email. He let me know about this, things he saw firsthand. So here's what he told me. Quote, "Just something to share with you. Back in the late 90s, when I was an associate pastor of a parish in the Archdiocese of Detroit, I had an 8th grade teacher in our school who studied theology under, at that time, Father Anthony Kosnick. He was a so-called moral theology professor at Orchard Lakes St. Mary's Seminary. At that time, many students were also women. This co-worker of mine, along with other women, studied theology at Orchard Lake Seminary, and when they graduated, Father Kosnick told them that when the church will allow women to be deacons and or priests, they will be the first ones to be ordained, for they took all of the theology classes needed for ordination. Now, that was back in the 90s, and look where we are today. How this evil started back then. It's sad here in Michigan about the pastor who was removed because of his stand on the truth regarding the James Martin crowd. And look, even parishioners were for his removal. There will be many who will go for this deaconess garbage because they will say that the Pope said it was okay. I wrote on Facebook it will be time for faithful Catholics to get out of those parishes and find faithful priests and parishes that will not put up with this. I try to tell people to experience the traditional Latin Mass. Some listen, while many more just ignore me, and these are so-called friends." End quote. He's not kidding about this long-standing push for this that goes back to the 90s. As recent as 2011, Cardinal Francis George, who is often thought of well among conservative Catholics, here in the United States, he looked into the question of deaconettes, and he had a long-form formal report given to him claiming that deaconesses in the early church were ordained. I was made aware of this by a priest through Patreon, who messaged me and told me to gave me just the little hint about where I could find this, and boy, is this eye-opening. The claims you're going to see in this report given to Cardinal George have been so thoroughly debunked that I shouldn't have to go over them, but unfortunately we do. I'm going to give you a highlight from this abysmal document that was given to Cardinal George back in 2011. Here's the excerpt. It's just full of nonsense. Here's their reasoning. Quote, "The words deacons are empowered to serve the people of God in the ministries of the liturgy, the word, and charity provide a fitting transition to what we have also been discerning from our exploration of the early church. It is well beyond the scope of our admittedly limited expertise and of this presentation to provide a comprehensive survey of the scholarly analysis of the history of women deacons that permeates the tradition of our church. As noted above, much has been studied and written on this subject ever since Paul VI raised the question. Nonetheless, we would like to share with you some of what we have learned and come to understand. As a starting point, we understand that the reinstatement of the permanent diaconate by Vatican II stemmed from a sense of tradition within our church that would, if renewed, bring spiritual revitalization to the church's mission in today's world. Pope John Paul II stated this clearly in his statement, Deacons Serve the Kingdom of God, issued October 5, 1993. Quoting John Paul II, clearly the Holy Spirit, who has the leading role in the Church's life, was mysteriously working through these reasons connected with historical circumstances and pastoral perspectives, bringing about a new realization of the complete picture of the hierarchy, traditionally composed of bishops, priests, and deacons. Thus, a new revitalization of Christian communities was fostered, making them more like those founded by the apostles and flourishing in the early centuries, always under the influence of the paraclete, as the Acts of the Apostles attest. Our tradition rests in great part on the character of the early church, the Eucharistic celebration, prayer, and taking care of the needy. See Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. It should be noted that deacons were not established during the earthly ministry of Jesus, Jesus having selected his apostles and entrusted them with his mission, but were called and established by the apostles to furtherance of the mission under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Scripture recounts the apostles' mission and that of those whom they called into service and ministry. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, refers to Phoebe, Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 2, I commend you to our sister Phoebe, being a deacon of the church in Centrea, in order that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and come to her aid in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of me also. Even within historical debates, it seems clear that women served as deacons. Origen noted in the 3rd century that, quote, this passage teaches by apostolic authority that women are likewise appointed in the ministry to the church. This 3rd century observation suggests that the place of the women deacon, at least in some church communities, already was well established as a rank in the ministerial hierarchy. The Apostolic Constitutions is the largest canonical and liturgical collection of antiquity, originating in Syria towards the end of the 4th century. It incorporated the Didascalia, the Didache, and the Traditiona Apostolica. They had a lasting influence on the discipline governing ordination in the East. Of most significance for this summary is that in the diaconate ordination ritual, there is a laying on of hands by the bishop over both men and women in the gathered presence of the presbyters and deacons. An examination of the early rites for the ordination of deacons reveals that there were two forms of prayer, for the ordination of a deacon, one for men and one for women, and that the two prayers are the same in the essential element of the laying on of the hands by the bishop, in the gathered presence of presbyters and deacons and the calling forth of the Holy Spirit. That examination also reveals that two prayers differ only in the person of for whom support is asked. These prayers support the understanding that if men deacons were part of the ordained clergy, then so were women deacons. The Council of Chalcedon, Canon 15, stipulates, quote, a woman shall not receive the laying on of hands as a deaconess under herself in marriage, and she shall be anathematized in the man united to her. The use of the term katatonin and of the substantive katatonia further supports the position that ordination through imposition of hands took place. Both male and female deacons were to serve under the jurisdiction of the bishop in his oversight of the community. It is our understanding that because of the mores of the time, the deacons would have been limited to certain aspects of their service, specifically certain elements of the service to persons of the opposite gender. Female deacons had specific responsibility for service to women. The role of the deacon has developed over time. deacons now bless and baptized. This was not always the case in our tradition. This supports the understanding that the role of the female deacon also can develop to reflect the role of the permanent diaconate as restored by Pope Paul VI. End quote. Note that this document keeps using terminology like, quote, our tradition, and invoked a distorted sense of the development of doctrine. The underlying admission that Vatican II opened the church up to this because Paul VI restored the permanent diaconate is an admission that tells a lot as well. They make our arguments for us, that Vatican II was the inflection point in the crisis in the church when Catholic popes went from defending the faith against modernists to, at the very least, flirting with modernism themselves in every case, or at worst, which you see in this argument that they make, were the instruments of modernism. That's the argument they're making. But the argument, in our tradition, leaves a reader asking a basic question. What other tradition matters? Why is the Catholic Church concerned with traditions that are not ours? Because that's kind of the implication. In our tradition implies that we should pay attention to others. Sacred tradition is the practice of the faith passed down from apostolic times. We're to resist novelty and claims of restoration of ancient practices. Pope Pius XII went after this under the labels of archaeologism and antiquarianism, which is this idea that because the ancient church did something, we should restore it, when in fact ancient practices often went away for good reason. Not that they actually ordained women, they didn't, as you will see here in a second. The universal teaching against this is that we are to resist novelty and claims of ancient practices being brought back. This comes from longtime viewers of this channel will know that I spent a year going over a book called The Comminatory by St. Vincent of Lerins. He was a doctor of the church, and he explicitly warned us to resist all novelties to the faith. It's worth noting, by the way, that there are no deaconesses in the Eastern Orthodox Church, and while there are very clear theological differences and errors on their part, the one thing they have hung on to is ancient tradition, without question. They have preserved their traditions better than seemingly anyone else in any of the apostolic churches, and you won't find a deaconess there. Kind of makes you wonder. But EWTN shredded their argument in general after it came out. Here's a brief excerpt from their response to it. Quote, exegetes are divided on the subject of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. The mention of women following the reference to deacons may suggest women deacons, by parallel reference, or the deacons' wives who had been mentioned earlier. In this epistle, the functions of the deacon are not described, but only the conditions for admitting them. It is said that women must not teach or rule over men, see 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 to 15. But the functions of governance and teaching were, in any case, reserved to the bishop, see 1 Timothy chapter 3, and to priests, see 1 Timothy chapter 5, and not to deacons. Widows constituted a recognized group in the community, from whom they received assistance in exchange for their commitment to continence and prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 5 stresses the conditions under which they may be inscribed on the list of widows receiving relief from the community, and says nothing more about any functions they might have. Later on, they were officially instituted but not ordained. They constituted an order in the church and would never have any other mission apart from good example and prayer. At the beginning of the 2nd century, a letter from Pliny the Younger, governor of Bithynia, mentioned that two women were described by the Christians as ministrae, or the probable equivalent of the Greek diakone. It was not until the 3rd century that the specific Christian terms diakonissa or diaconal appeared. From the end of the 3rd century onwards, in certain regions of the church, and not all of them, a specific ecclesial ministry is attested to on the part of women called deaconesses. This was in eastern Syria and Constantinople. Towards the year 240, there appeared a singular canonical liturgical compilation, the Didasculae Apostolorum, which was not official in character. It attributed to the bishop the features of an omnipotent biblical patriarch. He was at the head of a little community which he governed mainly, with the help of deacons and deaconesses. This was the first time that deaconesses appeared in the ecclesiastical document. In a typology borrowed from Ignatius of Antioch, the bishop held the place of God the Father, the deacon the place of Christ, and the deaconess that of the Holy Spirit. The word of spirit is feminine in the languages of the time. While the priests, who are seldom mentioned, represented the apostles and the widows, the altar. There is no reference to the ordination of these ministers. The Didascalia laid stress on the charitable role of the deacon and the deaconess. The ministry of the diaconate should appear as one single soul in two bodies. Its model is the diaconia of Christ, who washed the feet of his disciples. However, there was no strict parallelism between the two branches of the diaconate with regard to the functions they exercised. The deacons were chosen by the bishop to concern themselves about many necessary things, and the deaconesses only for the service of the women. The hope was expressed that the number of deacons may be proportionate to that of the assembly of the people of the church. The deacons administered the property of the community in the bishop's name. Like the bishop, they were maintained at its expenses. Deacons are called the ear and mouth of the bishop. Men from among the faithful should go through the deacons to have access to the bishop, as women should go through the deaconesses. One deacon supervised the entries into the meeting place, while another attended the bishop for the Eucharistic offering. Deaconesses should carry out the anointing of women in the rite of baptism, instruct women neophytes, and visit the women faithful, especially the sick, in their homes. They were forbidden to confer baptism themselves or to play a part in the Eucharistic offering. The deaconesses had supplanted the widows. The bishop may still institute widows, but they should not either teach or administer baptism to women, but only pray. End lengthy quote. And it goes on like that for quite a long time. It's noteworthy that the modernists who try to claim that the church actually ordained women in ancient times rarely, if ever, engage with the actual ancient texts fully. If they did, they'd have no way to keep the argument going that what they're doing, and they'd be forced to fully rely on the tired argument that the church must get with the times. An argument they already make anyway, but isn't convincing to anyone who's noticed that the world is getting darker and darker with each passing day. But you see, in general, they were not ordained. Authoritatively, they were not ordained. They were there to do the work that the bishop gave them involving women. That would be inappropriate for a bishop or a priest to do. That was it. The deacons of the time mostly managed the finances of the church. There's famously cases of canonized saints from that ancient time who were deacons, who were told to give the treasures of the church to the emperor. So the deacon presented the layman, because the laity, because those were the real treasures of the church, not gold and silver. And when those deacons did that, they earned themselves the red crown of martyrdom. But the deaconesses were never ordained. They simply weren't. It's a mental gymnastics that they do. I'm curious what you think of this. Do you think we're going to be hearing the end of the deaconess argument anytime soon in the church? I don't think so. I fully expect to see Francis issue a document before he's gone on this subject. Whether a future pope will have the courage to do something about it remains to be seen. Let me know what you think about this in the comments, please. Hit like and subscribe if you haven't. It does help. So to sharing this on social media, that helps too. And as always, pray for the church. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.